Can. You know, Baptists, we don't dance, but hey, you know, that's just a video. But listen, the reason we do some of this stuff, or the reason I do some of the stuff, is this. God created us different from the animals. We are created to think. We have a thought process. We process information differently than animals do. They react out of instinct. We react out of thought and reason. And so here's the idea. God told Israel to write down his word, and then they sang it in hymns. It was a way for you to remember and so forth. And so we do the same things. We use picture images. We use songs. We use all kinds of any way possible to make an impact so that you can retain the information that God has given us. And so it's my prayer that every time you hear that song, and forgive me because you will not get that little whistling tune out of your head the rest of today. And so I was doing it in the shower this morning thinking about that. But anyway, here's the idea. We do stuff like that so that it makes an impact in our minds subconsciously. So that when you hear that song or you hear somebody say, don't worry, be happy, the first thing that I pray you think about is Luke chapter 12, verse 22 to 34. And then you begin to say, oh, don't worry, Jesus said, don't worry about your food, don't worry about your life, don't worry about clothing, don't worry, yeah, that's right. And all of Scripture comes back to your remembrance. And so we do things like that for a reason as well. Also for enjoyment. And so I like to see Matt dance and do all kinds of weird stuff. And speaking of that, we had 45, I think, on Wednesday. The week before, we had 43. We missed that 50 mark by just a few kids. We're extending that one more week. I'm telling you, I want to see those kids shave that man's beard off. That is so awesome. Invite anybody that you can. Listen, I'm gonna put a plug in for myself to the church. Let me tell you something. If you get 300 people in this auditorium on any given Sunday, I'll let somebody come up and shave my eyebrows during the service. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. Man, you get 300 people in here and we'll see what happens. So, all right, get excited about inviting people to church. High schoolers, junior high, get them in here on Wednesday night. We want to see if we can get Matt to have his beard shaved. All right, let's get serious now. We're talking about Don't Worry, Be Happy, part three of the series that we've had, and so we come down to the final one. America has become one of the most stressed out, one of the most worried nations in all of the world. And Sophia McBain, who in her online article from The Statesman, she said that these type of disorders are psychological disorders and that they're best treated with medication. And so basically, the best that the world can do is to help you manage your stress, help you manage your worry. And so, but Jesus says anxiety-free, worry-free, stress-free living, it's part of the gospel. It's part of what Jesus offers to those who are actually in the kingdom if you just take hold of that. And so, let's get into it this morning. Luke chapter 12, turn there with me, verse 22 to 34. Tom, would you open us up in a word of prayer, please? And Brother Dan, Lord, studying your word and opening your word for us this morning, that each and every one of us, Lord, our mind and heart, Lord, take on us what we need. It's in your name all the time. Amen. So what I've been trying to say is that when we come to God's word, when we come to what God has to say, we need to sit up and pay attention because the world says it a little differently. And so when I said worry and stress and all this stuff, when we worry about these things, I said comes from not understanding, from a failure to understanding something about God. All right. Number one, we said worry is a failure to understand divine priority. And look at verse 22. We started with this one. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to, what you put on the body. Verse 23, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And so we talked about that last week. You exist for a higher purpose. You're not here to just eat and be clothed. John MacArthur said that America has OD'd on food and fashion. Food and fashion, food and fashion, food and fashion. That's all they exist for. You're not a little shark and a mannequin. You're not here just to eat and be clothed. We exist for a higher purpose. And so secondly, We said that worry was a failure to understand divine provision. Look at verse 24. He says, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?" And we talked about the idea that if you don't have enough, you have to ask yourself this question. How's come you don't have enough food? How's come you don't have enough clothing to keep you warm? How's come that you earn wages, but you don't have anything left because they're always gone? And so Haggai pointed out that you have to examine yourself and find out, have you forgotten somebody? And they had forgotten God. So we have to redirect that. So number three, we said that worry is a failure to understand divine privilege. Worry is a failure to understand divine privilege. Look at verse 25. And we said, "And which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" And we talked about this last week. Who wants to go from 5'9 to 7'6, right? I mean, it wasn't talking about making you any taller. It's talking about lengthening your life. Our society is psycho-obsessive-compulsive about lengthening our days. It's a mega-billion-dollar industry with food supplements, vitamins, exercise, medications, on and on and on and on. They try to lengthen their life, and they can't add one day. Not one day can be added. Worry does nothing to add to your lifespan. In fact, worry just takes away from it. We talked about it affects your heart, it affects your circulatory system, your nervous system, it affects your glands, your thyroid. It affects all kinds of stuff when you worry. Matter of fact, it causes more problems and would probably cause you to go earlier than what you should. And so, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Job said. So we need to remember that God is the one that sustains our life. And so, He is the one that tells us what day is our final day. And we can't go past that. And so verse 26, if you're not able to do the least, then why are you anxious? Why do you worry about the rest? Number four, we said that worry is a failure to understand divine preference. Divine preference. For some reason, God chose mankind to create us in His own image. Not angels, not animals. And so God chose mankind as the only creature He created to save by the shed blood of His Son. And so, for some reason, God chose us as His divine preference. Look at verse 27 and 28. It says, "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O you of little faith?" These little flowers that are so beautiful, and the grass and all the stuff that comes up and don't last very long at all. And God makes them very beautiful, who has very little spiritual value, creates them in one day, sometimes gone in the same day. And He says, if He clothes them, how much more is He going to clothe you? And so the issue, folks, is worry and stress and anxiety and fear and all those things was a failure to understand something about God. It was a failure to have enough faith. Having little faith. We talked about that. How do you get more faith? Paul said in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's what our lives should be revolved around. And so the issue was this, verse 29. He says, "And don't seek what you should eat, what you should drink, or have a worried mind." What he's saying is don't make the pursuit of your life about food and clothing. Because if you do, you're going to worry about it. So we know food and fashion. Don't make that the pursuit of your life. There's only two realms in which you can worry. You can worry about the heavenly realm, or you can worry about the earthly realm. You can worry about what is spiritual, or you can worry about what is worldly. You can worry about what is material or what is immaterial. And so, let's get into the final two. Number five, worry is a failure to understand divine paternity. Divine paternity. Look at verse 30 and 31. Jesus says, "For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Now, the word paternity here is from the Latin word pater, which means father. You know, you have a paternity ward and so forth. And that's where we would get our study of paterology, which is study of God the Father. And so this is the first time in Jesus' discourse
where he says, he calls God your father. He says, your father. And you have to understand that those he's talking to are those whose father is God. And so if your father is not God, then who is your father then? Jesus talks about that in John 8:44. He says, you're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he doesn't stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So either have one father, either God, Jehovah God is your father, or the devil is your father. And so Jesus was talking about that. He's talking about people whose father is God. Listen, if the devil's your father, he makes you no promises. He provides nothing for you in this life. Matter of fact, he does no good in your life. You're on your own. And to the unbelieving world, even God the Father has no commitments to them. He has no pledges to them. Matter of fact, Jesus said in John 3:36, he said, if you have the Son, you have eternal life. If you don't have the Son, then you don't have eternal life, and the wrath of God abides on you. If you've not accepted the Son, then God's wrath still remains on you. And so the only promise that God gives to the unsaved world is the promise of salvation through his Son. That's the only thing they have hope, is in Jesus Christ. But back to verse 30. So he says, eating, drinking, clothing, all these things the nations of the world pursue. That's what their life's all about. That describes the life among the unsaved. It's a battle for bread. It's a battle for survival. A dog-eat-dog world. You see the lifestyles of the rich and famous. What do? It's all about their possessions, how they're clothed, and what they eat. Oh, this escargot is disgusting. Get it out of my sight. That's all they look for, is how they're clothed, how they're dressed, and what they eat. And that's the only thing that they pursue in this life. Worldly, material things. And so, back in verse 30, he says, your father, in contrast, knows that you have need of these things. And so, he knows that you need him. It's not a question of power. It's not a question of resources. It's not a question of love, compassion. It's not a question of sympathy or mercy. It's a question of this, knowledge. So, if God your Father knows you have need of it, that's all you need to worry about. God knows you have need of this stuff, so what's the big issue? And so, verse 31, here's the key, very important principle. He says, but seek the kingdom of God. First, you got to seek God's kingdom. And then all these things will be added to you. Here's the idea. You want to be clothed? You want to have something to drink? You want to have food? You want to live a full life? You want to be worry-free, stress-free, anxiety-free? Then you got to seek something first. You got to seek the kingdom. Seek the kingdom first. And all this stuff your Father knows that you have need of. And when you're obedient to God and his kingdom, he will provide all that you need. This is why Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Set it on higher things. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6:33. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things are going to be added unto you. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus said, blessed are those, happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Can I tell you something? When you hunger and thirst for righteousness in the kingdom, you'll never starve or be without drink again, ever. God's the one that makes the promises. It doesn't rely on us, it relies on him. If he's your heavenly Father, your Father, then he'll provide for you all that the kingdom has. So you have to seek the kingdom first. And all these other things are going to be added unto you. God takes care of those who belong to him. But you've got to get into the kingdom business. We get into the worldly business enough, and we worry and we stress. Number 6, worry is a failure to understand divine pleasure. What I mean by that is this. Have you ever thought about what gives God pleasure? Some people, I mean, we could go to passages and passages where it says, and it pleased the Lord to do this, and it pleased the Lord to do that. And one passage in particular said, and it was well-pleasing in the sight of God. Do you know one thing that was well-pleasing in the sight of God? Is that his Son be be bruised. Do you know God took pleasure in that? Isaiah 43:10 says that God took pleasure in the death of his son. Can you imagine that? Jesus, as a matter of fact, he took pleasure in dying. The Bible says that he did it for the joy that was set before him to endure the cross. Hebrews 12:2. Amazing. But listen, what does please God? What does please God? What gives God pleasure? What is his delight? And amazingly, it takes us down to verse 32. Look there what it says. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's, there's that paternity again, it is your Father's good pleasure to do what? To give you the kingdom. He wants to give you the kingdom and everything that is in there. That's amazing. What is the kingdom all about? Well, Paul wrote about this, which is a huge verse. Look at Romans 14:17. Write this verse down. Put it in the front of your Bible, something. You want to talk about what the kingdom of heaven is? It's amazing how Paul says the exact same things that Jesus said. Paul says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. That's amazing. That's the first thing that comes up again. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, and it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? How you go through this life, how you examine everything that happens in this life is this, by seeking the kingdom of God first, knowing that God is going to provide for you, and you will have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How's come people can go through circumstances? It's because they have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because they're seeking kingdom business, not worldly or their own personal business. And so, the kingdom, you're going to be blessed. And that's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those in the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. All of God's righteousness, all of God's peace, all of his joy, all of his glory that makes up the kingdom becomes ours. We are co-inheritors of that kingdom. Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 29, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father has bestowed one upon me. There are aspects to this kingdom. There's an eternal aspect. That's the heavenly kingdom. There's a millennial aspect. That's the earthly kingdom. And there's also an immediate aspect. And this is that, the spiritual kingdom, in which it's the privilege that every believer enjoys immediately from salvation. Paul says in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. If our blessings are in the heavenly places, shouldn't we seek first the kingdom of God to receive those blessings? That's where they come from. That's where your joy and your peace in the Holy Spirit comes from, by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so there are no limits to that blessing. Romans 8:32, Paul reminds us that God didn't spare his son Jesus, but he delivered Jesus up for us all. How shall he not, with Jesus, freely give us all things? We have everything that God gave Jesus, he gives to us. That's amazing. God takes pleasure in giving us everything that he had because of what Christ did. It doesn't matter that we're nobodies. Doesn't matter that we're small. Doesn't matter that we're few. God, who is an eternal God, who created the universe, has chosen to give his kingdom to his people. That's an amazing thing. You want anxiety-free? You want worry-free living? You got to come to the kingdom. And the kingdom, it's a heart matter. Matter of fact, it's a heart matter. Look there at verse 33. We got two verses to go. See, sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which don't grow old, and a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Faith in Christ, turning from sin, has some kind of desperation to it. It's the way that Jesus says, if you're one of these, you want to be in the kingdom, you'll have some kind of desperation to be there. Is there anything that's going to prevent you from getting to the kingdom, from seeking the kingdom business? Is it your family? Is it career? Ambition? Money? Listen, it's the same thing for the rich young ruler. He says, Master, how do I get into the kingdom? And Jesus says, keep the commandments. And he said, oh, I've kept them all since my youth. What do I lack? And Jesus says, okay, go sell everything you have, give everything to the poor, and you come follow me. And that guy walked away mad because he had a lot of stuff. It has a type of desperation of how much you want to get into that kingdom. And it comes down to this, folks. Listen, do you know how you save somebody who's drowning? Well, you just go out and you save them. No. You wait till they have exhausted every bit of their energy and they go down. That's when you go to save them. Because here's the idea. When they have energy left and you get out there to grab... Man, if they've got energy left, they'll grab a hold of you. They'll grab around your neck. They'll grab your arms, your legs. They'll put everything around you and you won't be able to move. And you'll both go down. So here's the idea. In order to save that person, you have to wait until they are absolutely desperate and they have nothing left within themselves. You want to get out of debt? You want to be debt-free? Most people like the idea of Dave Ramsey and so forth, but you have to have a desperation. You have to absolutely hate your debt before you'll ever want to get out of it. An alcoholic will never stop drinking until he comes to a point of desperation, until he understands, I do not want to be here no more. So in the idea of this worry-free, anxiety-free living, you have to have a desperation to want to live in the kingdom, to bring that kingdom down to you so that in the righteous living that you have, obedience to God's word, seeking the kingdom first, that you can have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit no matter what happens here on earth. And that's the idea. Most people don't have that desperation to come to the kingdom. They want what the kingdom offers, but they still want what the world offers too. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. And so it's all about putting your heart into heaven. And this sums up the entire discourse of what he's saying from verse 22 to 34. And it's verse 34 here. This sums it all up. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, choose where you're going to store your treasure. See, your heart is your emotion. It's the seat of your emotions, your thought process. And you're going to concentrate on where your treasures is going to be right here. Your identity is determined by where your heart is. You want to ignore God? Spend all your physical and all your emotional, all your psychic energy on the worldly goods and all of its successes and all those things? You're going to have anxiety, stress, and worry. Or trust God? Spend it on eternity matters? And then you'll have, I don't know, Shakespeare said, to worry or not to worry. Well, that's your choice because it's where you put your treasure. Because wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So really, this is a passage about the heart. It's a passage about your heart. If your heart's in the world and you cling to the things of the world, you can't come into the kingdom. But if you give your whole heart to the kingdom, then every blessing that God takes pleasure in giving the kingdom to his sons will be yours to possess. Remember what Paul said in Romans 14, verse 17? For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not the worldly stuff. It's not position. It's not prestige. It's not money. It's not power. It's not who you are. It's about righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave an excellent illustration of this. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 to 10, talks about the Beatitudes. He said, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they're going to obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You want to be happy? You want to be blessed? Come to the kingdom. Amen. And that's exactly where you need to live. That's where we need to live, especially in a world in which we live in today. But it starts where you put your heart, in the treasury of which kingdom? That's the idea. The absolute best that the world has to offer is to help you manage your stress. But Jesus says you can eliminate it. Hey man, don't worry. Be happy. But the idea is this. There's only two realms in which you can worry about. You can worry about the earthly realm, or you can worry about the heavenly realm. So my question to you is this. Which realm did you put your heart? Where is your treasure? In which realm? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's crystal clear about how we should live and the joy and the peace that should flood our souls. But Lord, sometimes we screw that up by not seeking your kingdom first. And so, Lord, may this message just impact our hearts and our minds. May we redirect where we need to put our treasure. Because where our treasure is, our heart's going to follow us also. And so, Lord, we need to be thinking about kingdom matters, kingdom business. So I pray, God, that we can redirect our treasure in our hearts and focus on you. That way it could revert all of our life's worries and stress and anxiety, knowing that you are our Father and that you'll take care of us until the end of your purpose for us. So, Lord, we give this invitation to you this morning. And we say, Lord, if there's someone here, they don't know who's their father, Lord. They may be of the devil, or they're not sure if they're God's child or not. Father, I pray. We have folks up here that's going to show them from your word what it takes to have heaven and eternal life. Lord, prick their heart. Allow them to come. And Lord, allow your church to be excited about you and inviting others to church. And this is a place of comfort and peace where you can feel safe. And enjoy your word and fellowship with you, God. May we invite folks to come. May we be happy to be here. Just to gather around your word. And Lord, may it redirect our hearts. We give you this invitation, Lord. We pray you just have your way. And it's in Christ's name. Amen.